Let me take the migrant experience now down to the level of two people, a brother and sister from El Salvador who traveled by themselves to the U.S. border last year, just two among the thousands of unaccompanied minors traveling that route. Thipa Fernandez has been following this story from both El Salvador, where their mother still lives, and from Riverside, California, where the siblings are starting a new life.
Kevin and Sandra Mejia arrived from El Salvador last June to this house in a low-income section of Riverside. A pet parrot guards the front door. They live with their father, who left El Salvador when Kevin was a baby.
Oh, mi nombre es Kevin Omar Alvarez Mejia.
Kevin Omar Alvarez Mejia is off to school.
Yo soy salvadoreño.
I'm Salvadoran, he tells me with a shy smile.
¿Es tu escuela?
Sí, es mi escuela.
We're walking into the Jurupa Valley Middle School. Kevin's 14 and in 8th grade.
Pero el primer día que vine,
the first day of school was the hardest. I felt so nervous because everyone spoke English. Well, everyone except me. I felt like I was in prison.
That was 8 months ago. A few blocks away, his 15-year-old sister Sandra sits in her morning English period at Patriot High School. She, too, spoke zero English when they arrived.
Okay, Sandra. They are under... Are underwater.
She's making progress.
They are underwater.
But still, learning climate science in English isn't easy.
How many people were breathe clean air? Clean
air.
Okay, and I want you to say safe.
Safe.
Okay, and I want you to say clean water.
Clean water.
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 These teenagers are here because they say the remote mountain village in El Salvador, where they were born and raised, was too dangerous, especially for Kevin.
Vivir en un área de pandillas es difícil porque te están diciendo que seas de ellos.
It's really hard living in a place controlled by gangs because they're always asking you if you're one of them. But you don't join because you don't want to see your mom or dad suffering. You always see a mother crying on the news after gangs kill their son.
Kevin says he did his best to avoid the gangs, but there was only one road he could take to get to school. It's unpaved, rocky, and very secluded. Then, one day last year, some gang members got him.
En ese camino abajo de la casa, allí fue donde me agarraron los pandilleros a golpearme.
It was on the road right below my house where the gang members caught me and beat me up. This time, they told me I had a few days to leave the neighborhood where I lived, or they would kill me. So I begged my sister to come with me so I wouldn't have to leave by myself.
After I met Kevin and Sandra, I traveled to El Salvador to find out more. My first stop was a government office in the capital.
We know that violence is a big problem here.
Aquiles Magaña is a government appointee in El Salvador's leftist FMLN party, running a new agency that deals with issues of migration.
Right at some point, you know, we are declared the most violent country in the planet. The next day, we are the second.
El Salvador has one of the highest homicide rates of any country in the world. And the kind of death threats that youth like Kevin Alvarez received are very real.
Most of the young people we see that are leaving because of threats of violence.
Rick Jones is with Catholic Relief Services in San Salvador.
That is the primary reason why we're seeing so many accompanied minors leaving this country.
His job is to vet cases of people who come to his agency for help, and then, if he believes they're truly in danger, help them find safety. For kids who've been targeted, it's hard to escape. The gangs and their networks are spread across the entire country.
We get people constantly. Personally, I've known of 6 cases in the last 3 months of people looking for, I've got to leave and I've got to leave tomorrow.
That's what happened to Kevin. After the beating and death threat, and with their mother's blessing, Kevin and his sister Sandra left immediately in a taxi for the Guatemalan border. From there, they took local buses and hid inside truck beds as they made their way up through Mexico and into the U.S., where they were picked up by Border Patrol. Their goal was to make it to California to find their dad. They hadn't seen him since he left when they were tiny. They carried a photo with them to help recognize him. In the end, it wasn't hard to track him down. The siblings were briefly detained in Texas until immigration officials approved their transfer to the custody of their father. Kevin has a pending asylum case, and while he waits, he's trying hard to learn English and all the other things a middle schooler is expected to know.
Angle one in the figure at the right.
The Jurupa Valley School District provides him with a one-on-one tutor to help, so he doesn't fall behind.
¿Le entendiste o tienes preguntas?
Pero voy a tener preguntas para, para esto.
After tutoring, he's off to class.
Okay. Can I see your homework? Thank you, Kevin.
Terry Stevens, principal at Harupa Middle School, which has 1,200 students, says they prioritize helping students who are newly arrived from other countries with things like English coaches.
We've seen a lot of students like Kevin come into the school system who don't speak any English, and they have a very successful experience.
Not all the kids learning English at this school have had as dramatic a journey as Kevin and his sister, but there are other refugee kids among the students. From all appearances, they're lucky to have landed in a school like this. Back home, Kevin wants to talk to his mum, who he hasn't seen in 8 months.
Hello.
Hola.
¿Cómo está?
He only calls once a week as it's expensive, and she doesn't get much reception up in their mountain village in El Salvador.
¿Durmiendo?
His sister Sandra has already shut herself in her room and started homework. She has to write a poem about herself. But she doesn't have much time to dwell on the poem. Her brother's hungry, and without their mum here, she has to cook his meal when he gets home. Their dad works in construction and gets home much later than they do. Chopped tomatoes and jalapeno omelette with beans. And tortillas.
These tortillas are not the same ones as made from scratch. But you get used to it.
His sister serves his food, so he sits down to eat. In some way, life seems so normal for Kevin, despite being very far from his mum and family in El Salvador. But he eats alone, staring vacantly ahead. Does he miss his family, I ask? He nods.
I think if I wasn't here right now, I'd be dead. Because they just killed my cousin. They went to his house, you know, he lives right near our church, and the gang members were dressed as the police, and they took him out of his house and killed him. All because he didn't want to join. And that would have happened to me if I didn't leave.
I can see his mind is elsewhere as his hand moves mechanically between the tortillas and beans on his plate and his mouth.
I miss my mom's tortillas.
His mom makes her tortillas from scratch, cooking them on a large pan heated by a wood fire. More on her side of the story tomorrow.
Buen provecho.
Thank you.
For The World, Deepa Fernandez, Riverside, California.
Okay, let's pick up on another story from yesterday. This one about two siblings from El Salvador who live in Riverside, California. Last year, they escaped gang violence and crossed into the U.S. Their story is similar to that of thousands of other young Central Americans who've made that dangerous journey alone in recent years. Today, Tipa Fernandez takes us to the rural mountain village where Kevin and Sandra Mejia were born and raised. That's where Tipa met the siblings' mother in her makeshift outdoor kitchen.
There's no store around here to buy tortillas high up in this rural mountain village in El Salvador. So Isabel Mejia pounds her masa into round discs. She adds some wood to the fire kindling under her large pan and throws down the dough tortillas to cook. She knows what she's doing, but as I stick my microphone near her pounding hands near the fire, she's puzzled. What am I doing recording everything, she asks. I want to show what your life is like, I tell her.
How we live here, right? In poverty, right? In poverty, I'm telling you. All we eat is little beans and tortillas. That's it, right? Just maíz and beans.
Her kitchen is a thatched roof mud hut with an open fire pit to cook on. It's Sunday, so today she's making a special meal, rice with carrots. Back in the main house, Mejia plugs in an old, clunky blender to mix up a zesty salsa.
People here all work on agriculture, like on coffee estates. That's how we live here.
There are many mouths to feed in Mejia's home. She lives with her 79-year-old mother and one of her daughters, Daisy, who has her own child. Another daughter is visiting with her child. Her sons all have kids too. Daisy says life is hard in their small village.
Here, if we want to bathe, we have to get up at 5 a.m., and it takes us 2 hours to get there. And we come back on nice and bathe, but then we're all sweaty too.
This was where Kevin Mejia and his older sister Sandra lived until 10 months ago, when they left to try and make it to the U.S. by themselves.
I miss them a lot, a lot. They were my two children. Kevin was the youngest.
Kevin was just 13 when they left, and Sandra was 14. Mejia says she's often very sad.
I was fat, but now I'm really thin. Even my children, they see me and they say, oh, mama, you're so thin. Yes, I tell them, I miss you a lot, and you know how we live here. Here just about everybody goes hungry.
So why did they leave? Kevin says he was escaping the gangs. He has a pending asylum case based on the fear of retaliation by gang members for not joining them. Yet this sleepy little village doesn't feel like gang turf. But Mejia says the dangers are all around.
3 months ago, they assassinated two kids right here. It's really the young ones these gangs in El Salvador are after, like exactly the age of my kids.
The road leading to her home, curving around the mountain, is deserted.
Kids can't go to another village. The outskirts of our town are dangerous. They have to stay home or they will be targeted.
I ask her why parents don't protect their children from gangs.
Well, here, we can't protect our children. As a mother, a single mother, I can't protect them against all this violence we have here in El Salvador. I can't protect them.
With lunch done, Mejia's daughter Daisy gets her 3-year-old ready for church. It's the one family outing they do each week. The little children are excited to be getting ready to go out. The drive to church is along a very rocky and secluded road. Mejia points out the coffee estate where she works Monday through Saturday. I asked to see Kevin and Sandra's school. We take a small detour. About a mile later, we arrive into the town center. We pull up by a walled-off compound that has two bright blue buildings, the school where Kevin and Sandra attended.
The teachers here are good. They teach them a lot.
A bit further on, we arrive at Mejia's church. It's an evangelical Christian church. Mejia approaches an empty seat, kneels backwards, and puts her head down on the plastic chair. She has a lot to pray for.
All I ask God is that my children can live there. I hope they win the case so they can stay.
They're far away from her in Riverside, California, but they're never out of her heart, she tells me. Then it's back to the church service. For The World, Deepa Fernandez, Cantón del Pinalón, El Salvador.
Deepa's reporting was supported by the International Women's Media Foundation and its Adelante Latin America Reporting Initiative.